Thank you, Father. Through Christ our Lord, amen. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 13. Has anybody got a word? So the topic is endurance. Very important. We're going to see in the parable of the sower and the seed, verse 3. And he spake unto them many things in parables, saying, lo, the sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some indeed fell by the ways, by the pathway, and the birds came and devoured it. And some fell on the rocky places where it had much earth, and straightway it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth, and the sun arising it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. And some fell among the good ground and did yield fruit, this indeed a hundredfold, and that 60, and the other 30. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Which one had endurance? The seed.
One that fell in the good
ground, the better fruit. So we see in verse 18 to 23, he'll explain it to us. And so Christians around us, you know, you'll see people are going to usually follow one of these, or people, not just Christians, but people in one of these four categories. 18, hear ye then the parable of him that sowed. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, the wicked one cometh and snatcheth that which has been sown in his heart. This is he by the way, by the pathway sown. So that's all unbelievers. And he on the rocky places sown, the same as he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, doesn't have any foundation in the word, doesn't read the word, but is only for a season, and there arising tribulation or persecution because of the word, straightway he find cause of stumbling, so he will fall back. And that can happen in schools. People, oh, you can't be a Christian. Christians are dorks. Christians are this. That's it. And the person goes, oh, I don't want people not to like me, so they fall away. Third one, and he among the thorns sown, the same as he that heareth the word, and the anxiety of the age and the deceit of riches choke up the word and unfruitful. So I'd rather make money than serve Yahweh. Is what it really comes down to. I'd really have a good time to serve Yahweh. The last one, but he on the good ground sown, the same as he who does hear and understand the word, and they're very different because the first guy didn't understand the word, who indeed beareth fruit and produces this 100 and that 60 and the other 30. That's where we want to be. And you have to have endurance, which means you've got to have a solid foundation and good soil. So when you try to get knocked off your pedestal, which will happen, all right, you spring right back up. And so we find out many plants are very pliable. They bend without breaking. And then the wind's back over, they pop right back up again. Ooh, that gets our adversaries so upset. Endure comes from the Latin word durus, and in front of it. So in hard. So durus means hard. Or hardening. So to endure is a hardening.
A what?
H-A-R-D-E-N.
Harden.
Hardening. Or hardening. The Hebrew word that's translated endure, one of them, is amad. And that's Strong's number 05975 in the Qualston. Now remember, endure is a verb. So in Hebrew, how many stems are there?
There's seven verbs.
Question. Seven. Yeah, so seven. So always remember, the magic of language is not nouns, they're verbs. And verbs have, as you will learn in school and things, they have mood and tenses and everything else, and that gives the whole structure of it. In the Hebrew language, there are seven stems of one verb, and so they spell the same, but it's in a different stem. It can mean something completely different.
Like a tense. We would say tense.
Yeah, and so that's important to know with Hebrew. I mean, a lot of people don't, you can't just go up to a concordance and here's what the word means. I have to know what stem it's in. Because when you get it from Strong's, they'll say in the qual stem or in the Hippel stem or in this, and it'll be different meanings are going through. That's not what the teaching's about, the things that may occur. So that's Ahmad. And it means to stand, remain, endure. Ahmad means to stand. We're going to look at some instances. So why do I stand but for the reward, or I have a debt? So we're going to see reward is the future of the new earth, and also Yahweh promises that he will bless us if we work for him in this earth. But also there's a debt. Yahweh gave his son, and his son died for us, right? So I owe it, don't I? So we'll go to 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, 14 and 15, and look at this debt first. Page 184, and we should know that. For the love of the Christ constraineth us. We'll let the kids do that once we get there. Very important verse to memorize. To put us back on track, does anybody remember by heart, or do they need help? For the love of the Christ constraineth us.
Having judged this, that one on behalf of all died, hence they all died. In behalf of all died he, in order that they who live no longer for themselves that shall live, but for the well, for him who died in the world.
That's right.
That's
awesome. Yeah, that's beautiful. Sorry. So very simple. The love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died. That's true. Therefore, they all died. And in behalf of all died, hence they all died. And in behalf of all died he. Why did he die? Next verse.
In order that.
Reason. They who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and rose again, died and awoke. That is our purpose. That's a debt. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Somebody saves your life, you owe them. And you should be very thankful that you owe him because you're alive because of what they did. Especially for what he ended up doing for you. You know, being tortured and brutalized and all the perks too. 19. Or know you not that your body is a shrine or the naos of the Holy Spirit that is within you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify Yahweh in your body. We've been bought with a price. Galatians 1, verse 3. Corinthians, Galatians 1, verse 3. Excuse me. Favor unto you and peace. Favor unto you, Galatians 1, verse 3, favor unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the Lord Mashiach Yahushua, who gave himself for our what?
Sins.
That he might do what?
Deliver
us out of this what?
Present
evil age. According to the will of our Elohim and Father, to whom be the glory unto the ages of ages. Amen. Okay, very sorry. So we got a debt. Why do we stand and endure? First thing, this life's 100 years at the most. The next life is age abiding. So I'm going to look at that, more focus on that retirement plan than on this retirement plan. Now we go to the standing before Yahweh, which is enduring. I mean, Abraham was one of those, right, Esther? That's what she taught us tonight. So go to Galatians 18:22. Or maybe not Galatians. Genesis 18:22.
Just there. 47.
Yeah. Isn't that strange? Same thing.
What verse?
18:22. Let's see here. And the men turned from thence and went their way towards Sodom. But Yahweh was yet standing before Abraham. So that's that word, Amad. Standing.
Which was standing.
Standing before Amad. And we go to Deuteronomy 4:10 and see Moses, Amad. Deuteronomy 4:10, page 202. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 4:10.
I forgot what standing had to do with endurance.
Yeah. To stand. Think of that. Each day we can stand in front of Yahweh or we can flee from Him.
There's no other option.
You can, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really simple. So, 4:10.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. What day thou didst stand before Yahweh, thy Elohim, in Horeb, when Yahweh said unto thee, gather unto me the people, that I may hear them, hear my words, and which must learn that they may revere me all the days which they are living upon the soil. Their children also must they teach. This is where schools came from, is the Hebrews. Because Yahweh said, you will teach your children Hebrew so they can read the Torah, the law. And when people quit doing that, that's when societies fell apart. I think we talked about the bubonic plague and many plagues like that were caused because of bad hygiene. People weren't bathing because they didn't know the scriptures. And it comes down to the Hebrews, if they were doing the scriptures, you know, when you had times when you touch a dead body, you remove yourself for 7 days, and that could see if you're contagious, you know, that you would stay away instead of contaminating everybody else. Now we go to Joseph, which is Genesis 41:46, standing, or Amad. Genesis 41:46. The interesting to talk to a physician and to see Levitical law on skin disease, everything that you touch, the examination, how to be unclean, you had to wash your body, you had to wash your clothes. When you attacked other people, you washed the bodies, you washed your clothes, or you burned them, took metal through the fire. So all of this is all sanitation, and they had no idea.
Yeah.
But Yahweh does. 41:46. This is Joseph with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of... let me see here.
Where are you?
Well, I'm a 41. I'm sorry.
30?
Yeah, it's 41:46. I was on the wrong sentence. Now, Joseph was 30 years old when he took his station, that's Amad, standing, his station before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that would be endurance, or standing. So think of standing. And now we go to David, 1 Samuel 16:21, page 305.
Hey, what chapter?
16, 1 Samuel 16, verse 21. And David came in unto Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. So you really get to see the people put in a relationship from standing before somebody into like a ceremonial situation. And that's what enduring is all about. So we have to look at Abraham, which we're going to cover, as an example of this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. A person who stood as our example. So we've got to remember, every story, every account that Yahweh has written is for a purpose. You know, I was listening to, besides the point, I was listening to 1 Samuel when I was taking a shower, and the guy, Joab's brother, who went after Abner, he didn't have a sword, but he was sweet as the gazelle. And so he's running after him. The guy says, turn back, or pick up a sword, or we'll pick up a sword. So he finally stabbed him and killed him.
What?
And I'm like, why is that in there? You know, so I'm thinking, why is that story? I mean, the guy didn't sound like dumb as a rock, but then that started a whole feud between Abner and Joab and Abner, but Yahweh specifically put that in there Because that could have been not in it at all. And we wouldn't know the difference. But you have to say there's a reason for that. Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 10. And this is Abraham. For he was awaiting a city having foundations whose architect and builder is Yahweh. And that is, and we'll keep going. By faith, even Sarah herself received power for founding seed, even beyond the season of life's prime, seeing that faithful she reckoned him that had promised. Wherefore, even from one were born, and as to these things, one who had become dead, like the stars of the heaven for multitude, and as the sand that is by the lip of the sea, that cannot be numbered. And then how Rotherham keeps that instead of in, by the shore, it's the lip, and that's the word for mouth and lip. But remember, Abraham was promised, you're going to have this as a seed. Now, what did he actually happen in his life? Now, look at somebody who stood. Now, let's look at what happened. Now, we go to Genesis 12, verse 5. What we're going to see is, the summation is, how many stars did Abraham see before he died?
Three.
How many stars?
Yeah. Children.
Oh.
Well, that is stars of the season. I've got one son and two grandsons. And that took 85 years to accomplish that.
Yeah.
We can do that in 4 years. In a regular family size. 5 years at the most. Three children. Now, so you have to go, but wait, there's promises as the sand and the seas and the stars of heaven. But he never saw it. So we're going to see at 12, verse 4. So it's nice to document this and look at the word endurance. And the word's not going to be there, but we're going to look at his age. And Abraham came, or Abram, and that means father, Ab. And Abram came on his way according to that which Yahweh had spoken unto him, and Lot came with him. Now Abram was how many years old?
75.
Okay. That begins our journey. Now we go to chapter 17, verse 24. This is 24 years later. He says, you promise you're going to be, you know, your dad's children. 17:24. And Isaiah, you want to read 24?
Yeah. Now Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin.
Okay, because Yahweh told him, you're going to have a child. And this is circumcision, because right below that, 18, we talk about Yahweh coming and it says Sarah will have a baby within a year, 9 months. So he's going to be 100 when that happens. So Abraham is going to be 100. So that's 25 years before Isaac ever comes about. Now we go to 25:19.
They didn't have handicapped parking back then either.
25:19, and you're thinking about, why did Yahweh give her more than one in Isaac? Because Yahweh did this for a purpose. So we have to pray about that and see 25:19. But good old Isaac, when did he get married?
40.
He's 40. That's another 40 years. Now watch. So 25:19, Melania.
Chapter 25:19 or 19:25?
These are the generations of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abram begat Isaac, and it came to pass that Isaac was 40 years old, and he took Rebekah. Daughter of Bethuel,
and we'll stop right there. Okay, how old was he?
40.
So how long has it been since Yahweh, since Abraham got the promise? So 75, and he was 100.
65.
That's 25. Now it's been 65 years And he's got one star. Okay.
And Sarah didn't get to see it.
Yeah, Sarah did. Yeah, you're right. Now we go to 25:26. And Esther, you want to read verse 26?
How old are you, Dad?
65.
Okay.
Same in 25:26.
Okay. And after that came forth his brother, with his hand fast full of the heel of Esau. So they called his name Jacob. Now Isaac was 60 years old when he bare them.
Okay, so now, okay, so he was 65 when Isaac finally got married. Now how long did he wait for a grandchild?
20 years.
Then he got two. So it's now it's been 85 years to get that. Right now, 85 on to 175, that's 160. He's going to die at 175. So the kid's going to be 15 when he dies, Jacob and Esau. So we go to 25, 7 and 8, we go backwards.
You wait a long time for a promise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
25 what?
7 and 8. And these are the days of the years of the life of Abraham, which he lived 175 years. So Abraham breathed his last and died in a fine old age, old and satisfied, and was gathered unto his people. So he waited, yeah, so that's 160 years. I mean, he was, yeah, so he worked 85, and then he had another... That was 95, 100. So actually, now he was, it was 100 years because he started when he was 75 and he died was 175. So when the promise began, it took him 100 years to get three stars. And did he ever crumble?
No.
Was he in good ground? Yeah. So think of that. So there was a man who stood off by himself, you know, because he's looking for his city whose builder and maker is Yahweh.
King David served 40. I never thought that Abraham served 100.
That's what kept him going, because this was only chapter one of his life. Now we go into the New Testament. The word endurance comes from the word hypomeno, and which means to remain. And meno actually means to abide. So we want to remain. So we look at Mark 13:13. Matthew, Mark, and we're page 50, if the person wants to go there. Endurance. And I really believe that, you know, this is something that's really lacking in Christianity today. And I think people might go to church all their life, you know, and they observe on Sunday, but I think... in relationship to enduring what Yahweh has called them to do, in many cases, I believe they're actually ashamed of Yahweh. You know, they won't put things on their body, they won't put things in their house, they won't put things in their car, won't show things at work that they're a Christian. You know, which is a sad, sad state. You know, and that's not enduring at all. It's not flourishing either. You're not bearing fruit in that character. You could be a good person. You're not breaking the Ten Commandments. And you're giving to your church, which is nice too. That's good. But I really believe the pressure that the world tries to put on everybody is to fall out. Just fall out and you won't have any problems. And this is what's going on against Donald Trump right now. The thing is the Democratic Party is to crush him, to make an example that any of you other try this, you're going to get the same result. So if you're not harassed, you know, many times by other Christian institutions, all right, a lot of times you're not speaking. Really simple, it's just that simple. You're not speaking up. Now, Christ was harassed by Christian institutions. They were Christian at that time, but they were by Hebrew institutions. And guess what? So were the apostles. So were the prophets. And so when you're speaking, there's going to be resistance that's going to come against you, so you have to endure. And Mark 13:13, in the day of Yahweh, during tribulation, that's really going to be hard. And you will be men hated by all because of what?
My name.
My name. And that's why I don't put his name on my vehicle. So what happens if I don't put my name? I'm not what?
Hated.
Hated. I'm not going to wear a shirt that says Jesus Christ, because then I won't be hated. I'm not going to, put something on my house, so I will not be hated. And that's the technique, and that's what happened to the seeds. They were choked out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were choked out. But he that hath endured, hypomenos, but he that hath endured throughout, the same shall be made whole. And that's sozo. Endures to the end. You're going to be strangled, because they say, if you don't take the mark of the beast, alright, you can't buy anything. Alright, so you're making a stand. I love the Donald Trump too. They're just trying to choke the life out of them. Same with Mike Pompeo, same way with Jim Jordan, and a lot of these people. The hate of the world is trying to come against them. And they're not going to bend. They're going to, and the endurance is what you're seeing them actually do. And most of the time people cave. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 on hypomenos, endurance. And here's a good example of Timothy. he's a man of Elohim, which means he's a prophet.
17 or 17.
Chapter, Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 8. And so the other thing is to do is to make you ashamed. And I'll just give you an example. So there's something called the Way Corps. And it was with the Way Ministry. And these are supposed to be the elite. And they have a group on Facebook. So I saw that. Let me join the group. And they said, what do you believe? I said, tell you those ministries' website. And they let me join the group. And so then I started putting things on there. This hell exists in the Bible. If anybody should do it, they should be able to look at these things. And then I would put on good things too, like Bollinger, about the resurrection. And then I put the woman caught in adultery. Did it really happen? And within about a week, I was kicked off. And the people who wanted the word, and the people, you see the responses, and these were people who were supposed to go, they were not Trinitarians either. That was the Way Ministry, that chapter and verse and everything else. And people would start saying, it doesn't matter how you translate the word, it's really the heart of the word that you translate. Making statements like
that.
Mean? Oh yeah, it really comes to accuracy is not important. What's important is that you feed the poor and you do good works. And this was supposed to be from the institution that does that. So all of a sudden you fool things in there, and then after a while they can't. But there's one person who went to the website and saw something, so I think there's always going to be fruit there. Then a person can compare. Here's what this person's doing, and they kicked him off. And so that's called resistance. But we and actually be proud of it that you laid it out there. They didn't like it. You got kicked out. Let's go. So that's what we got to raise you, this generation, up to stand up and say, I'm proud of it. Are you a Trinitarian? No, I'm not. Oh my God, you're Antichrist. You're a Jehovah Witness. No, I'm even worse than a Jehovah Witness. I speak in tongues. And be proud of it. Just very simple. And they just can't stand that boldness. And if you don't like it, that's fine. I got a city I'm going towards. I'm not here to please you, like Apostle Paul said. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Christ.
Amen.
That's it. And so did he please a lot of people?
Nope.
He did on some. On the other ones, they wanted to kill him.
They did.
Yeah.
Stone him.
So, here's Timothy now going through the same thing Paul's fading out in chapter 1, verse 6. For which cause I put thee in remembrance, be stirring up Yahweh's gift of favor, which is in me through the means of the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of cowardness, and it's not fear, it's cowardness, which makes a big difference, but of power and love and correction. Be not thou therefore what?
Put
to shame. That's why the word is cowardness. Fear doesn't make you put to shame. It's cowardice that you put to shame, because with regard to the witness of our Lord, nor with regard to me, his prisoner. So, to be afraid of an animal, afraid of a lion, not to be put to shame.
Yeah.
By any means, everybody's going to run from a lion. All right. But that's it. And in chapter 2, verse 8, so this pressure is bearing down on him to crush him like the second and third sower in the seed. Make him unfruitful. 8. And somebody when do you want to read 8 through 13?
Keep in mind Yahushua Mashiach, raised from among the dead, of the seed of David, according to my joyful message, in which I am suffering hardship even unto bonds, as an evildoer. But the word of Yahweh is not bound. For this cause am I enduring all things for the sake of the chosen, in order that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Yahushua Mashiach, along with glory age abiding.
Keep going. Faithful the saying, for if you have died together, we shall also live together. If we endure, we shall also what?
Reign.
Reign. There's a reward. Reign together. Wow. If we shall deny, that's the sower, that's the second and third seed. He also will do what?
Deny us.
Ow. And so if you don't have Christ on your Facebook, if you don't have Jesus on your Facebook or Yahweh on your Facebook, what is that telling the world? Think about that. Oh, okay. You want to know what time it is?
No, his watch is beeping.
You're deaf too.
Oh, I didn't hear him.
I can't hear it.
If we are faithless, he faithful abideth for him. For deny himself, he cannot. And so, remember that. I've seen pastors and stuff who do not have "In God We Trust" on their license plate. They have a regular license plate. And I thought, my goodness, how can you have a regular license plate when you can get "In God We Trust" in the state of Kansas? And if you looked at their car, you wouldn't recognize their car from any other car in the world. So I'm like, well, how would you even know you're even a pastor? I mean, if it comes down to it. So to me, it looks like you're ashamed. You're sure not advertising.
Somebody needs a pastor or needs something, they're not going to know.
Yeah, they're not going to know. Now we go to Hebrews chapter 10. On enduring, and we'll really look at chapter 11, which we call the faith chapter. It's really the enduring chapter. It's enduring. And by faith, you endure. By faith, you endure. By faith, you endure because the faith was promised you as another city. Chapter 10, verse 32.
11.
And 336. Okay, who has it? You want to read that, Esther?
Sure, 32-36?
Yes.
Okay. But he, calling to mind the former days in which once ye were illuminated, a great compact of sufferings ye endured.
These guys are getting pressed hard. And what are you going to say about this? So keep going.
Partly indeed, because both the reproaches and tribulations ye were being made a spectacle, but partly because into fellowship with them who were so involved ye were brought. For ye with them who were in bonds ye sympathized. And unto the Caesar of your goods with joy he bade welcome, knowing that ye have yourselves for better position and abiding. Do not then cast away your freedom of speech, the which had a great recompense. From endurance ye will need, in the order that the will of Yahweh hath done, ye may bear away the promise.
For of endurance you have need, in order that the will of Yahweh having done, ye may bear away the promise. That's the context of chapter 11 of the faith chapter. Now chapter 12, which is the end of chapter 11, the summation, 1 through 7, therefore indeed, seeing that we also have encircled us so great a cloud of witnesses of people who endured by faith, stripping off every encumbrance and the easily entangling sin, with endurance, let us be running the race that is lying before us. And it's just not getting fatigued. Endurance means I run at a good pace and I'm not exhausted, where I just collapsed for a year or 2 years. I did burn out. I'm enduring. And one particular, I have to say, one thing they say about Elijah, he's always faithful. The outstanding, enduring. Looking away unto our faith's princely leader and perfecter, Yahushua, who, in consideration of the joy lying before him, there's the reward, endured a cross, shame, despising, and you don't have to enjoy it. So the endurance, I don't. Yeah. I'm not out there to
make friends,
like have people hurt me on purpose, because it hurts. It's gonna hurt when you get it. It's gonna hurt. Shame, despising, on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh hath taken his seat. For take you into consideration him who hath endured such contradictions by sinners against themselves, lest you be wearied in your souls, becoming exhausted. And that's it. Run the race. Not yet unto blood have you resisted against sin, waging the contest, and ye have quite forgotten the exhortation which indeed with you, as with sons, doth reason. My son, be not slighting the discipline of the Lord, of Yahweh, neither be faint when by him thou art reproved. For whom Yahweh loveth, he doth discipline, and scourges every son whom he doth welcome home. For the sake of disciplines, persevere is the same word, hupomeno, endure. For the sake of discipline, endure, as toward sons Yahweh beareth himself towards you. For who is a son whom a father doth not discipline? So that, you gotta read, father's gonna reprove you. And so somebody, how he's gonna reprove you, and it's usually gonna be a human being is gonna do it. We can get, and we love to have good messages from people. It could be parents. It could be any relationship, but when somebody you are off, and somebody says, I wanna have a talk with you, and you're gonna say, no, I don't do that. I don't take criticism, and I don't take that, which means I shut Yahweh out. Very possibly, those words are that person is sent from Yahweh to give me a message, just like with David and Nathan. Nathan brought a message to David, and the prophets always brought a message to people. And you have a choice to either say, let me see if it's true, tell me. I'm not something. If it's true, it's going to hurt me. If it's not true, it doesn't hurt me at all. If somebody says, you're fat, I'm like, that doesn't hurt me. You know, you hate your wife. No, that doesn't hurt me. See? But if he says you're not doing something that you're supposed to be doing, I have to say, is that right? Because your wife said that, then I have to say, yeah, that's right. And that could be from Yahweh, and I say, thank you, Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Ow, ow. You know, is it going to hurt? Yeah, it's going to hurt. Because I'm not perfect. But boy, I want to be in the right direction. Yeah. And it's like one person said, if you're going towards the North Pole and your compass is pointing towards New York, all right,
you're in trouble.
And somebody says, hey, you're not going to make it. Don't tell me what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to the North Pole. You're not going to make it. No, I'm going to make it. I've made my mind up to it. And you just shut up and get out of here. And that's what the Way Corps actually did to me, because what they locked out was Christ. Because the Rutherford Bible, they didn't like, which is amazing, because that was really the power of Bunlevian. So you oppose the most accurate Bible in the world. I like the NASB. You know, so you're like, okay, but guess what? Duly noted, you've been, and Christ told people, if you had not seen the miracles, you would have been without excuse. But now you have seen the miracles, and now you're not without excuse. You are without excuse. I mean, you have no excuse. You have that because you've seen it. I did that. So the future city is our reward. And we go back to Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. But we already know that. 9 and 10, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign land. Are you going to feel like you belong on earth?
Nope.
No, you're not. Hey, we're having a bachelor party and we're going to a strip club. Everybody's coming. All right? Oh, it's not going to hurt you. The guy's getting married. All right, you're not going to be going. All right, so we're going to smoke some pot. Come on, everybody does it. It's legal.
Here now.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. Hey, we're going to have sexual intercourse. It's all right. Everybody does it. Nope. And so what happens is you're in a foreign land. And if you feel like you're not in a foreign land, you're not living the way you're supposed to live. Yeah. You can watch TV and see that. In tents dwelling, along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise, he left the city to go dwell in tents. You know, he left his house.
Safety.
And he had wall around the cities. And now I'm going to go out in the middle of a wilderness where anybody can kill me. And we have to have watchmen around there. But Yahweh is going to protect me because he told me to come here. Isn't that cool? For he was awaiting the city, not his old city, which had foreign gods, having foundations whose architect and builder is who?
Yahweh.
That's my city. That's where he went.
He's still on his way.
And 13 and 16, in faith, all these died, not bearing away the promises, but from afar, beholding and saluting them, and confessing that strangers and sojourners were they upon the land. And if you don't feel like a stranger, you know, this world should hate you. And if it doesn't hate you, you're part of the world. So you have to very understand that.
I feel strange every day.
Yeah. For they who such things as these are saying, make it clear that of a parental home they are in quest. I'm looking for a home where justice and righteousness reigns. And that's what all of us. Get rid of the wickedness on the earth, the Democratic Party, the people who do the wickedness, and then it would be Christ-like. And if indeed of that they had been mindful of which they had come out, that they might in that case have had opportunity to return, but now after a better one are they reaching, that is a heavenly, wherefore Yahweh is not ashamed of them to be invoked as their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. There you go. I choose Yahweh. That means what's the world going to do? It's going to hate me. Okay. I take it. I accept it.
We are.
Yeah, we're in a good place in the United States. We've got a lot of Christians around here, and you got freedoms. But as you can see, we teach the word. How many people are here? Now, this is available in all Wichita. And how many people actually want the word? Mm-hmm. Not very many. Now we go to chapter 13, verse 13, which is fine. That's your choice. Now therefore, 13:13. Now therefore, let us be going forth unto him outside the camp. That's where Christ his body was thrown. His reproach bearing, for we have not here an abiding city. All this stuff's changing. You know, I love it. And Psalms 37. I saw a rich, wicked man flourishing like a tree, and I came back the next day, and he was gone. Dust, ashes. So you've got to remember that. This city's going to be gone. You know, all the pleasures of this life, gone. And that, for 14, for we have here an abiding city, but unto that which is to be are we seeking our way. Through him let us be offering up a sacrifice of praise continually unto Yahweh, that is a fruit of the lips confessing unto his name. But of the good and fellowship be not forgetting, for with the sacrifice of these is Yahweh well pleased. Now we go to Philippians 3. It's 204. 3, verse 20 and 21. Okay. Isaiah, you want to read 20 and 21?
Chapter 4.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3, 20 and 21.
Philippians 3, 20 and 21.
Okay. Verse 20. For our citizenship in the heavens hath it rise. Wherefore, Savior, also do we
ardently
await the Lord Yahushua Mashiach, who will transfigure our humble body unto conformly his glorified body, according to the energy wherewith he is able even to subdue unto himself all things.
Wow.
So, yeah, so for our citizenship is in the heavens at his rise. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 is our last one. 10. And remember, it's endurance, to endure. Run your course. Some people have a lot worse than us. I mean, that's an understatement. Some people, you're in a Muslim country.
I don't see any likes on Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
Yahweh likes my
but posts. You just keep walking the walk, and the people, you get to find out who is really coming to you. And you don't know how many people are actually watching and paying attention. Mm-hmm. Now, they might not say it because they're ashamed, but they're paying attention. I think Aaron sees a lot of that at the gym. Yeah. You know, people watching us walk and just observing. For the rest, be empowering yourself in the Lord in the grasp of his might. Put on the complete armor of Yahweh with a view to your having power to do what?
Stand.
That's it. To endure. Stand at what? Against the strategies of the adversaries. We already know what they are. They are the coveting of the world. They are, what was the other ones?
See,
2 and 3.
They're not loving the world nor the things of the world.
Well, but I'm talking about the sower and the seed. The first two that fell. Number 2 and 3. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the principalities, against the authorities, against the world holders of this darkness. So what are we fighting? Spiritual wickedness. And so with Pam and Donna, many times on fellowship night, that's what happens many times. And we've seen it many times. Husband and wives will get in fights on fellowship night. We've seen that, and you're like, what are the odds? Why is it always happening?
Yeah.
Because there are, many times there are things happening that's trying to stop us from doing things. Ah, nah.
No, that's the coincidence.
No, it's just Wednesday for some reason.
It just changes to Tuesday, doesn't it?
Or you don't want to go to fellowship, or you don't want to do this. I want to watch a football game. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Man, he's saying, stand here, boys. Here's what you guys got spirit. Here's why you got spirit, but you're equipped for all this. For this cause, take up the complete armor of Yahweh in order that ye may receive power to withstand in the evil day. And all things having accomplished to stand, stand therefore. Stand. These three different times. So that's where we'll stop.
What's that? Can I say something?
For the people who are listening or watching. And here's a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. Begin each day with a rejoicing and a celebration. I abide within you, that I live within you. I've given my son for you. So I request and I ask and I expect that you will give your life for me in order that you may be well-pleasing in my sight. Walk forth expectantly knowing that I reward those who work for me, for the ones who harvest my crops. So be a patient and be pleasantly surprised and expect great things, because I am the creator of the universe who abides within you and has called you at this very special time and place.